Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them? I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. There was a grandmother who was telling her granddaughter about her childhood, and she said, you know, when I was a little girl, we used to go skating on a pond outside of our home. We used to swing on a tire swing that was attached to an oak tree in the front yard. We used to go into the woods and collect wild berries, and we used to ride on our ponies. After she finished telling her granddaughter this, her granddaughter was just standing there with wide-eyed amazement. And her granddaughter said to her grandmother, I sure wish I'd have gotten to know you sooner. It would have been a lot better. We come across people that we might say to ourselves, I wish I would have gotten to know them sooner. I wish I would have gotten to know them because they have so much to offer. There's so much about them that I like. And we see that sometimes with Christians as well. We see Christians who seem to have a passion that we don't have. Or they seem to have a faith that we don't have. Or they seem to really work effectively for the Lord. And we sometimes say to ourselves, I wish I was like that. I wish I had what that person had. And sometimes we think about that and we wonder, what is missing in my life? And perhaps the missing ingredient is something about which I want to speak this morning. And that missing ingredient is power. Power. Sometimes we don't have the power that we want to have as Christians. And that missing ingredient of power is seen in a number of areas. Sometimes it's seen in the area in which we want to share our faith, but we just don't seem to do it. Or we just don't seem very good at doing it. We don't seem to be very effective with it. The leader of Revive Texas, Kyle Martin, said something this past week that kind of startled me. He said this, most Christians never share their faith because they really don't believe. I said, what? They really don't believe? But then he went on to explain. They don't believe in Jesus enough to want their friends and others to come to faith in him. And he also said they also don't believe because their friends and others, they don't really believe that their friends or others are really perishing, going to a Christless eternity. And he said that most Christians, because they don't have the power to share their faith, don't end up doing it. One of the things we noticed about the apostles and the early disciples of Jesus after his resurrection and after the day of Pentecost was that they went out and they were very effective and powerful in the sharing of their faith. Many people came to Christ as a result of their witness. They were effective witnesses for Christ. Scripture says that there was someone who noticed what was happening amongst the Christians. This person was not a Christian. And this person said, see how these Christians are turning the world upside down. So what was causing the Christians to be able to turn the world upside down? What was causing them to be able to share their faith so effectively that many people came to believe in Christ? The answer was they had power. Another area in which Christians sometimes are lacking power is in the area of their fears. So often we are dominated and controlled by our fears. We are afraid of what might happen to our health. We're afraid of what might happen to our finances. We're afraid of what might happen to our family. We live in fear of terrorism. We live in fear of all sorts of things in this world. And that fear can become so overwhelming that it can become debilitating for us sometimes. And so sometimes we don't have the power to overcome our fears. Another area in which we may not have the power that we need is in the area of changing our behavior and the things that we do in our lives. Sometimes we keep doing the same things over and over again, and we wonder, why can't we change? Why can't I get this area of my life under control? Why can't I overcome this temptation? Why can't I overcome this sin in my life? We wonder why we're not able to do that. Many times the answer is because we don't have the power to do that. Another area in which we're lacking power is the area in which Christ told us that we would be able to do the same things that he did on this earth while he was walking on the face of this earth. He said we would be able to do the same works that he is doing. But many times we're not able to do that because we're lacking the power that we need. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the power that is missing in the lives of so many Christians, and then how to get that power. So if you'll turn to our first lesson today from the book of Acts, chapter 1. It's on page 1689 of the Pew Bibles. Acts chapter 1. And if you remember the lesson that we heard read earlier, this was written by the writer called Luke. And Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. And so in Acts chapter 1, he begins his letter, his second letter, by saying this. In my former book, Theophilus, the former book was the book of Luke. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. That's called the Ascension, where Christ ascended into heaven. So he wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until he ascended into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And so he, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared to his apostles and disciples over a period of 40 days at different times and at different places. And when he appeared to them, he demonstrated to them that he was really alive, that they were not seeing a ghost, that they were not hallucinating, that they were not seeing a figment of their imagination, that the real Jesus was standing right there in front of them. He ate with them. He drank with them. He talked to them. They talked to him. They were able to touch him. They knew that he was alive now. They knew that all the things that he had taught them were things that he was now reiterating to them as he was reaffirming those things over this 40-day period. He was teaching his disciples the things that they needed to know so that they could then pass on those things to those who would ultimately become disciples and followers of Jesus through their ministry. In verse 4, it says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now we see that phrase, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, in each of the four Gospels. When something appears in the four Gospels, each of the four Gospels, then that means that that's something very important to remember. It's something to really pay attention to. And so he said, John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now he was speaking to the apostles and disciples to whom he had earlier appeared in the upper room in John chapter 20. When it says that he said, peace be with you. And then he said, as the Father is sending me, I am sending you. And then it says that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus imparted to them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of them. They became born again Christians. They were born again believers. The Spirit had transformed their human spirits and caused them to become children of God. They now were in a relationship with Jesus Christ because of the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the reason why he could say that, even though he ascended into heaven, was that he left the Holy Spirit with his followers to be his representative. So the Holy Spirit would dwell with them, reminding them that Jesus would never leave them nor forsake them. But now Jesus says right before his ascension that you're missing something. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, but you're still missing something. You're missing the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's read on in the next verse. He said, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of it to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. They thought Jesus was going to marshal the troops and that he was going to rise up against the Roman government and drive the Romans out of Israel. But Jesus wasn't that kind of Messiah to do that. And so Jesus says to them in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so Jesus was saying to his apostles and disciples, even though you're a believer in me, you're still missing something. You're missing the power that you need to live the sort of life that I want you to live once I ascend into heaven. And so in verse 9 it says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes as he ascended into heaven, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white, probably angels, appeared beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who you see is taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus was indicating by his ascension that he was no longer going to be appearing to them. He had appeared to them over this 40-day period at various times, and they'd kind of gotten used to him kind of appearing and disappearing. And so now Jesus ascending into heaven was telling them, I'm no longer going to be appearing to you, but I'm going to take my rightful place at the right hand of the Father from which I came. Originally, Jesus was with the Father from all eternity as the Word of God. But then the Word of God came to this earth and became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ then ascended back into his rightful place in heaven, from which he is going to be reigning until that time that he comes back again at his second coming. And when he comes back again, he will establish the new heavens and the new earth. He will usher in the last judgment and things like that. And so his apostles and disciples were now to carry on his ministry once he had gone into heaven, but they could not do that unless they had a certain power, unless they had the power of the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so we read on and we see that the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived in Jerusalem, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were all of the 11 apostles, minus Judas Iscariot, all the 11 apostles. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so they all gathered together to pray. They were praying for the coming of the power of God. They were praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They were praying for this anointing that Jesus had received in his baptism. They were praying for the same anointing that anointed Jesus for the ministry that he went on to do. And so as they were praying for this, they were looking forward to that time when the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Now it's interesting that the Holy Spirit did not descend upon them until they had prayed. And while they were praying, that's when ultimately it happened on the day of Pentecost. And so that reminds us that prayer is the key to unlocking the door of the power of the Spirit. Prayer is the key to unlocking the door of the power of the Spirit. We've been involved in the Revive Texas outreach, as most of you know. And this is going on all over the Metroplex. And as of today, there have been over 14,000 people that have gone out in groups all over the Metroplex to share the gospel with others. There have been over 2,000 people that have made a commitment to Christ during this time. In our area, in the area of Northwest Fort Worth, there have been 209 people that have accepted Christ. Why is this happening? It's happening because 40 days before the Revive Texas program began, there were many people that began to pray about this, began to ask God to prepare the hearts of those who would go out to share, and then those who would receive. And so we're seeing the fruit of prayer in the power of those who have gone out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The apostles and disciples were praying for this power to descend upon them. Next week we'll be talking about the day of Pentecost, when that power actually came down upon the apostles and disciples. What do we see happening after they receive this power? We see them going out and being effective witnesses for Christ. People were coming to Christ daily because of their witness. We see these were people that were overcoming their fears. They were overcoming them so much that they were willing to die and to give up their life in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Many of them did sacrifice their life because of being a Christian. They went on to live a better life because the Holy Spirit had come upon them. They began to live a more righteous life, to have the power to live a life that more reflected the life of Christ. And finally, they had the power to begin to utilize the gifts that God would give them, the gifts of the Spirit, to build up the body of Christ and to affect the lives of others out in the world who doubted the power of God. Some of you here today may say, well, that kind of describes me. I kind of feel a bit powerless. I really don't have the power that I need to go out and to be an effective witness for Christ. I really don't have the power I need to overcome my fears. I don't have the power I need to overcome the temptations that I face or overcome the behaviors that I find myself getting involved in. I really don't have the power to serve God the way I want to serve Him. Well, the good news is that power is available to us. And that power is available through prayer. As we pray and ask God, believing that we're going to receive what we ask for, believe that we receive that infilling of the Spirit, He promises to fill us. Now, many of you would want to continue to pray until you know for sure that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you will know it. So don't give up. Continue to pray for that. I often describe this experience much like a pilot light on a gas stove. The gas stove has a pilot light on it that serves the function of keeping it ready to go in case the stove needs to be turned on. But it really doesn't do any good just staying lit by itself. It has to have gas sent to it, and then that gas ignites the flame, and the flame comes up on the burner, whoosh, and that burner comes alive, and it begins to accomplish the purpose for which the stove was designed. It's the same way for us as Christians. There are some Christians who really are pilot light Christians. That's all they are. The pilot light is on. They're Christians, but really they don't have any power to do what God wants them to do, to effectively live their life for God. And so they're looking for that power, and that power can only come through, if you'll pardon the analogy, through the gas of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit ignites our hearts and begins to set us on fire with the love for Jesus. Do you want more power in your life? Do you want to be a more effective witness? Do you want to overcome those things in your life that you're having trouble with? Do you want to overcome your fears? Do you want to be used by God in a more powerful way? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray until the Holy Spirit comes down upon you. And as that happens, then you'll find your life being opened up in a whole new way that you've never experienced before. You'll find that you'll have a greater closeness to Christ that you did not have. The Bible will come alive. Prayer will become something more important and valuable to you. Ultimately, that can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, there may be one person here today that recognizes that they never really have even had that pilot light within them. They never really invited Christ into their life to establish that relationship with Him. Lord, would you give them the grace to be able to invite Him into their lives so that they would have the ability to say, I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And then for all of us, we need to constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit. But there may be someone here today that has never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you fill them to overflowing? Would you give them the power that they need in all the areas I've described this morning? And then would you ultimately draw them closer to yourself through the power of your Holy Spirit? We thank you, Lord, that you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. And you never call us to do anything that you don't empower us to do. So, Lord, I ask that you would fill us now with your Spirit and empower us to live the sort of life that you want us to live. We ask this in your name. Amen.